So we're talking about our relentless pursuit of God, that we have the a call from God to pursue Him. Now, like I said, you felt it in the spirit. Go with me to the next slide, please. Yeah, right there. That's the call of God, I believe, God's calling us. Now, that may not be your posture, but that should be your future. Now, if you're mature in the Lord, that's probably the posture that you have in seeking God or something similar to that. If you're on your way to a greater spirituality, then it may not be there. But God starts us wherever we are. God does not make cookie-cutter Christians. God individually deals with our lives to bring us to a better tomorrow and to bring us to the place that He's called us to walk. So it's just real important. So I want to try to answer the question a little bit on how do I seek God. I wish that I could answer this tonight, but I really can't. But what I'm just going to do, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to allow us to just talk about some things to help us be involved, because the very essence of how you seek God is left up individually to God Himself, because the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Now, we're going to show you some things, hopefully tonight the Lord will help us to see some things that are possibly for us all. But each one of us individually are on this individual journey. We're collectively moving toward God, but each one of us are on an individual move. Each one of us are on an individual pursuit toward God. Precious Holy Spirit, Lord, You know that this is an impossible task for me. So, Lord, I ask You by the power of Your Spirit that You would just come tonight and that You would reveal into people's hearts and lives the individual journeys that You have in our great pursuit of God. Because, Lord, it is of vital importance that we're able to pursue God and we come in through that much closer place. In fact, the Lord really spoke to my heart coming, even driving up this evening, and the Lord said that God is desiring to do miraculous moves in every person's life. Now, you can translate that into whatever it may equal in your life. But He said to move up into that higher place, that to move into that is going to be a greater right. You're going to have a greater privilege, but it's also going to be a greater responsibility. There's going to be, as God moves you up, as you seek Him and you come closer to God, that it's going to give you greater rights. I mean, you're going to be able to move in God's kingdom much easier. And then it's going to be privileges. You're going to find some answers that you have really been searching for. But number three, it's going to be some more responsibility, because to whom more is given, more is what? Required. So we got to know, as we're moving up in the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, if I'm in the first grade, I can't receive the benefits of a 12th grader. A 12th grader has things offered to them that a first grader can't have. And so a lot of times what we're doing, we're asking God for things that are 12th grade stuff. And we're on third grade. And God said, for me to be able to give that into your life, I've got to get you closer to move you up. And so if we will obey the voice of the Lord and we will come closer to God, allow God to draw us near to Him. Everybody say, drawing near. If we allow God to draw us near to Him, then we will be able to move up in levels. And one of those levels that God is moving us, God is faithful, is everything that I need in my life. Amen. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, now all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, may come to God the Father with the Holy Spirit's help. I want you to know, the way God's going to draw us is with the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit is here as our guide to lead us to God, to lead us to that much closer place. This cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. And so, during this season especially, maybe you have found it not comfortable for you to address the Holy Spirit. Maybe you found comfort, maybe through your past raising, you found comfort with having a Heavenly Father, and you found comfort with having an elder brother Jesus. But in this level, the Lord wants you to know, it's going to take you coming into a relationship with the Holy Spirit also, because the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that's going to draw you to the Father. God, Holy Spirit is going to draw you in. And that's what it says there. And John chapter 4 verse 23 said, but the time is coming indeed, it is now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice what I said. It doesn't say spirit or truth. It says spirit and truth. It's breath and word. Breath and word. That's the way you worship God. Breath and word. It's the word of God being breathed by the Holy Spirit through your life. It's not breath, or it's not spirit or word. A lot of times they get, you will worship God in spirit, you're going to worship with the word. No, it's and. This thing makes a whole with God. The Father is looking. Everybody say, God's looking for those who will worship Him that way. That will allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God that He's put in your life. God wants to use that and bring it out in a wonderful form of worship and praise to Him. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while He may be found. You know, somebody will say, you know, I'm just not ready. Well, it's not you, honey. You got to know that. You've got to move when God wants to move in your life. It's when the Lord is wanting to. There are seasons that God's calling you closer because God sees what's approaching your life. You've got to trust God. If you will trust the Lord and flow with the Holy Spirit, God will always have you ready for whatever comes. He'll always have you ready. He'll always have you so you'll be stable if you trust the Holy Spirit. So you have to seek the Lord while He may be found. You've got to seek Him while He's dealing with you. He's choosing this season. You say, well, this is not a convenient season. Well, honey, you allow the Holy Spirit to be God. Allow Him to be the one that chooses what's convenient in your life. It's of utmost importance to move close to God when God is drawing you. There is a reason behind it. There is reasonings with God why that God has chosen particular seasons to draw you into Him. All right, now John chapter 6, it says, for no one can come to God unless the Father who sent draws. It's the drawing of the Lord. You can't come when you want to. You have to come when the Holy Spirit is drawing you. You have to approach God when the Holy Spirit is drawing you and pulling you in. That's why it's so important. Now, I mean, if you sense God moving in any service or wherever you are, it's just so important that you yield to God then. Some people say, well, you know, I could feel the Holy Spirit drawing me this morning, but I just didn't want to go to the altar. Or I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me and I just didn't want to pray. Or I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me, but I just didn't want to get up and spend that time with God. I tell you, honey, you're taking a dangerous chance. You're taking a dangerous chance. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. God is in the process of transforming us. We're being transformed into creatures of the Lord. John 16, 13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you. He is your guide. The Holy Spirit is your guide. He is your guide in. He's your guardian to that closer place with the Lord. Romans 8 and 14 says, for as many as led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. If you sense that if you know that you're a child of God, then you have to give the leadership over to the Holy Spirit. You have to trust the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you cannot think your way through it anymore. If you're a child of God, you can't think your way through it anymore. You can't think your way out of it anymore. You got to trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 2, it tells us, this calls this rebellious people. This is a rebellious spirit. This is the way a rebellious spirit talks. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord, and she does not draw near to her God. That's the rebellious person. That's the rebellious spirit. You see the four qualities there? She listens to no voice but her own. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. And she does not draw near to her God. And that's the spirit of rebellion. Now, we could find a lot of wonderful chapters in the Bible on the pursuit of God. But none is any greater than Psalm 63. In fact, Psalm 63, at one point in church history, was sung or read every day. They did not allow a day to pass that this psalm was not read or sung. Because in this psalm, it reveals the heart of a person that wants God. It said, oh God, You are my God. Earnestly will I seek You. And I did this out of this verse out of Amplified. It says, my inner self thirsts for You. That's what a person realizes. It's this desire I have for God. Something in me is thirsting. My inner self is thirsting for God. Now, a person that won't follow the Spirit, you're always going to have your eyes on the outside. But you that are following the Spirit, you're going to find out the Spirit is always, always interested in what's going on inside you. It said, my inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs. Not only does my spirit, but there is a longing in your flesh too. There's a longing for God. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and weary land where no water is. Verse 3 says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. That's what our heart that's seeking God. That's what your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. The fourth verse says, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me, the fifth verse, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise your name. Do you see what is going on here? This is David. He's out in a wilderness at this time. And the enemy is trying his best to get him to place his focus on the enemy and the destitute situation that he's in. But David said, the harder it gets, the more I'm going to focus on my love toward God. The harder it gets, the more I'm going to focus upward. The more difficult my situation, the more I'm going to lean on God. And so he focuses his heart toward the Lord. It said, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with joy. Then David begins to give us the secrets of seeking God. He said, when I remember you up on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. People that are seeking God always have these two aspects in their life. There's an aspect of remembering what God has done. There's an aspect of thankfulness. I tell you what, if your heart is right, you cannot put all your focus on the problem that you're presently in. Because there's too much remembrance in you of the battles that God has won before and the things that He's already brought you through. What you do in the times of seeking God in the midst of the problems that you're now facing, you remember the goodness of God. There will be a time you remember the goodness of God in faith. There will be a time that you will look back on this time and also remember the goodness of God. Amen. And then I meditate. Meditation on the Word of God is of vital importance in seeking God. Meditating the Word, that's the only way. Taking that Word, taking that written Word into yourself is the only way that God's going to be able to reveal a greater measure of Himself to you. It first comes on that written page, then it becomes on the Spirit's breath inside you. There is a point as you meditate the Word and your process of seeking God. There is a point where it is literally changed from flesh to spirit. There is a change. There is a point from what you put in your head drops into your heart. Because I tell you, passion toward God, it is a knowledge issue, but it is also a heart issue. It also involves not only knowledge, it involves passion. And what your head will know, your heart will take a hold of. And your heart will see the divine nature of the Lord in the process. The next verse says, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. See, that's what begins to happen here. As David begins to remember God's goodness, even though he's facing a horrible situation at the present, he begins to seek God, and he remembers how God had brought me through so many things like this before, how good God is. And then he begins to meditate on the Word of God. And when, as he begins that, it brings him to the secret place. It really brings him to the place where he's covered underneath the wings. Here it calls it shadow. The shadow of the wings of the Lord. I tell you, where every one of us need to be in the times of great battle, we need to be under the wings of the Lord. God will take care of us. Amen. Amen. Now, the next verse, it says, I cling to you, your strong right hand. Now, this right here gives you the measure of seeking God. That word cling is also the word cleave. It said where Adam was to cleave unto his wife. It's the process of intimacy. It's the process of marriage. It's a process of two things. It's a process of commitment and a strong sense of loyalty and passion. It's the combining of commitment and passion that causes you to cleave together in marriage, and it's the combining of those also two great forces that cause us to cling to God. Somebody says, well, will you leave your wife? I say, no, I won't leave her. I love her. And somebody says, well, what you gonna do with the Lord? I'm gonna cleave to God. I would never ever think about drawing away from God. Amen? Because we have that intimacy, that intimate place with God. Amen? Now, so in the process, I'm trying to see a lot of things real quick here. In the process of moving on with the Lord, a lot of us will start, we started at different places. Now, I just want to show you one possible place that God may be starting. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, notice what it says. The one thing that stands in the way of me being as close to God as I want to be is not God. Who do you think is the problem? If it's the problem, if it's a choice between me or God, somebody that's real smart, give me the answer to that. It's me. It's me. It's never God. So if I'm not at the place I need to be with God, and that's what drawing near means, there's a sense of me to be closer to God. If I'm not as close to God as I need be, the problem is me. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 addresses this. It said, my advice to you is to buy pure gold from me, gold purified by fire. Only then you will be truly rich. And then it says, and to get medicine from me to heal your eyes. There's a healing process in the process of seeking God. I talked to a young lady here Sunday, and she was talking about seeking God. And she began to relate to me the painful hurt that had been in her life. How many people had failed her and done her wrong. And I could just sense the woundedness. This precious, precious young lady was so precious and so kind. But there was such a tremendous hurt. And I said, you know where you're starting a pursuing God would be? Let me give you a place to start pursuing God. I said, you're so wounded and you're so hurt. Every time that God brings to your remembrance somebody that hurt you, and just in our short length of conversation, this young lady shared several people with me that had deeply hurt her, and she had been a pincushion against the world's darts. And I said, you start here in your process seeking God. See, the first place God's going to deal with us in getting close to Him is to work us past forgiveness. Because with unforgiveness in our life and unhealed wounds, we'll never ever be able to get as close as we desire to get to God. So one process of getting close, one part of the process of seeking God for this young lady, I said, what I'd like to see you do, every time the Holy Spirit brings somebody to your mind that has hurt you, I want you to do two things. And I tell you what, if you will give the Holy Spirit an opportunity, God will miraculously draw you close to Him. A lot of times we just see ourselves seeking God. I'm going to do 15 hallelujahs and 14 I jumps and 13 circles. And we think that's seeking God. No. Seeking God starts right here. And it's the willingness of my life to get the things out of my life that are standing between me and God. If I will get the things out of my heart, if I will let the Holy Spirit, and I can't do it, because none of us are self-healers. You understand? I don't believe in self-healing books. Self-healers. I don't. But Holy Spirit can heal all of us. So I said, honey, what you need to do is, every time the Holy Spirit brings somebody to your mind that has hurt you, you need to do two things, and that will be your process of starting to seek God. The first thing you need to do, you need to say, by faith, I forgive them. And I said, no, wait a minute. You don't have the power to do that. I know you don't. You don't have the strength to do that. But your dependency, your time of seeking God is going to be the reliance on God to get you there. So the first thing you need to do in the process of seeking God is not learn a new worship song. That's not where you'll start with. where your process will start is, I forgive them. I said, darling, if you would just say that in faith in the Holy Spirit, even though you can't feel it. And then the second thing you need to do is also have confidence in the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, thank you for healing that wound. And then I started to tell her number three. I said, no, number three, you start on those two and we'll give you number three at a later date. What I'm just saying is a lot of times there's things in us that's not going to let us draw any closer to God. That brings up much disappointment in our search for God. And we have to realize that. We have to realize, but the Holy Spirit is so good because the Holy Spirit will pinpoint the areas that need to be taken care of that will move the resistance out from me drawing closer to God. If I will allow the Holy Spirit to be involved in my pursuit, if I will allow the Holy Spirit to be involved in my pursuit and to get medicine from me to heal your eyes. That's what God said. And give you back your sight. God can give you back your sight. Amen. And then it says, that's then an explanation to it, the next verse says, those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults. The Holy Spirit will tell you. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's standing between you and Him. The Holy Spirit will do that. And this pursuit of that I'm on toward God, we're all moving toward, there's been several points that have really, I've had to come to a place of consecration in my life for me to be able to move beyond it. But I could get no closer to God unless I was willing to surrender. That's why we said Sunday night, every pursuit of God starts with a surrender. God starts us off with a place and a point of surrender. God deals when the Holy Spirit comes to me and the Holy Spirit says, Jerry, this is an area that you need healing in. And so I just dare say, if there's someone here tonight that you're dealing, that you're trying to pursue God, you're trying to seek God and you can't find a way to get through there, why don't you just stop and ask the Holy Spirit? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there people I'm holding grudges against? Is there somebody, Lord, that's hurt me deeply that I haven't been able to forgive? See, the Holy Spirit knows that. I like that backup music. See, the Holy Spirit knows that. And the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. And the Holy Spirit does this so beautifully. Because the Holy Spirit will bring it to you as you can deal with it. He will never, ever put more on you than you can deal with. He'll never ask of you to do something that He can't empower you to do. And so as the Holy Spirit moves in your heart, and He may do that all through the day, but as He does that, you be willing to say those two things. Holy Spirit, I believe through your power, I choose to forgive them that they hurt me. And then, Lord, I believe for you to heal that wound. And if you would just give the Holy Spirit the right and the opportunity to do that, the Holy Spirit will begin a process of working in our life. Revelation 3, friends 2 says, He who is able to hear, let him hear. Everybody's not able to hear that from the Holy Spirit. Some people, the Holy Spirit will not allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to them the things that are standing between them and the Lord. Their ears are dull. They won't listen to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will speak to you if you will allow Him to do so. And like manner, James 4:7 says, how you seek God, says, the process in James 4:7 tells us how to seek God. Number one, I must humble myself. That's what it says. I must humble myself. I got to realize there's things standing, possibly standing between me and the Lord. Number two, I got to begin to resist the devil. You're going to find your pursuit of God is not going to be very strong if you're not going to begin to resist the devil while you're pursuing God. You're going to have to not accept the devil's thoughts. You're going to have to not accept what the devil's wanting to put to your heart and your mind. You're not going to, you'd use it as a fasting time. One of the greatest things to do in a pursuit is fast your mind to the Lord. Instead of saying, you know, I'm just going to quit thinking these, I'd say, Lord, I'm going to fast my mind to you. It's a fast, God, that I can give to you. I'm not going to allow the enemy to torment me with this. See, what happens is we allow the enemy to put it to put that thought in there, or the enemy puts that thought in there. But where we do wrong, we accept that thought as our thought. Every one of our problems start with the point that we begin to accept the devil's thoughts as our thoughts. Because right in the midst of real something holy that God's trying to do in your life, the devil will put a dirty thought in your mind. And you've got a choice to make. Either I'm going to let the devil ruin this holy time that God has for me, or I'm just not going to accept that thought. What I look up and say, God, you know that's not me. I love saying that. God, you know that's not me. Oh, devil, try it again, didn't he, God? You know that's not me. So we humble ourselves, we resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Then it says, verse 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. If I will begin to come close, if I will begin to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the obstacles that need been, and then right in that same chapter began to tell us the things that I can do to resist the devil while I'm pursuing God. It says, wash my hands and I purify my heart. It says, let your hearts be filled with God alone. Now, notice it didn't say you could help what the devil's trying to do in your head, but you can help what's going on in your heart. If you're going to pursue God, you've got to make a time of dedication to a point of holiness and sanctification. And you've got to make a choice. I'm just going to let my heart be filled full of God. Humble myself before the Lord, and He will lift me up. Verse 11 says, don't criticize. I've got to withdraw criticism. If I'm going to seek God, if I'm going to pursue God, I've got to withdraw criticism. Fast, everybody say fast. Criticism. Verse 13 says, stop boasting. I've got to quit my boasting. I got to quit telling what great ideas I have. And I've got to allow the Lord. Verse 15 says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to. That's what you do. Instead of boasting, what you're going to do, especially during the time of seeking God, you restrain yourself from those thoughts and you begin to say, well, this is what God wants me to do. Because you begin to treasure the heart of God in a time of seeking God. The Bible says in verse 16, otherwise you'll be bragging about your own plans. Amen. So, and then so on, it tells us, stop greed. Stop being impatient. And stop grumbling. In my times of pursuit of God. Stop greed. Stop being impatient. Stop grumbling. I'm talking about the Lord bring me to a place. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. All right, now, let me just tell you some possibilities real quick that the Lord may have you start with. For some to see God, it may take a commitment of time and focus. You may really have to do that. If you have not been giving God your time, if you've not been focusing your life, you're not going to seek God unless you take a time of commitment and focus. For some to see God, it will take a change of one's thoughts. You have to change your thoughts. Listen, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Now, do you hear what I'm telling you? You don't want people to feel sorry for you. You don't want people to feel sorry for you. You hear me? You hear me? Quit telling feel sorry for me stories about your life. You don't want people to feel sorry for you. They'll always pity you. Nobody wants pity. There are times we need compassion and we need care. You don't want pity. So you may have to change your thoughts about yourself. Get out of the dumps. You can't seek God and keep your mind in the dumps or down in the gutter. You're going to have to begin to lift up your thought life. Everybody say, lift up your thought life. You're going to have to begin to lift up your thought life and begin to think highly. If you're going to be able to see God and God's going to carry you to a higher place in His time, you're going to have to lift up your thought life. Amen. Third thing, you may, for some see God, it may take a change of one's words. You need to quit speaking death if you're asking God to carry you to life. If you're asking God to make things better, you need to quit talking about things being worse. You need to fast this. In a time of seeking God, you fast all of that flesh. You fast that thing. You fast. It's a lot better to fast negative words than it is to fast cherry pie. Do you hear me? It's a lot better. It'll do a lot more spiritual growth in our life. Amen. For some to see God, it will take a change of actions and responses. We have to fast the right to being angry and fast the right. I'm talking about doing stuff. If you don't want to just cycle again, how many of you are just tired of cycling? Cycling and cycling and cycling and cycling and cycling. And aren't you ready to break that mold and finally move up in God? Aren't you ready to just break that mold and move on up with God? And so during this period of time, you may have to change. You may have to fast them before God. My responses, I may have to, that this is the way I would normally respond, but I'm not going to respond. I tell you what, I can't get over how the Holy Spirit has been doing me. I know many of you, I say this because I know it's all around. But man, in places where I would normally talk, the Holy Spirit has just had me to quieten my mouth. And then the Lord finally told me this. He said, stand still and see that I'm God. And I tell you, when the Lord spoke to me that other day, He told me to stand still. Really, He told me to sit down. But He told me to stand still. He said, if you'll stand still, Jerry, and just be quiet, I'll show you I'm God. If you would just stand still and be quiet, if you would just fast before me, the actions and the usual responses, if you would just fast before me, I'll show you God. Amen? All right. Then for some to see God, it will take a change to God's knowledge. And that's everyone, because it's going to take a change to God's knowledge. For some to see God, it will take a change to a deeper insight of Him. It's according to where you are in the Lord. God's starting us all in our pursuit. So it's where we are in the Lord. For some to see God, it will take a change to understanding more His divine nature, understanding how God is. And for some to see God, it will take a change to obey what He has said already to us. Obedience is so important. And number 9 is, for some to see God, it will take a change to a breakthrough in hearing His voice. For some need to determine, I'm going to seek God until I can hear God. I'm going to seek God until I can hear God. I'm going to seek God until I can hear God. And the 10th one is, for some to seek God, it will take a change to a breakthrough in trusting Him. To break through and trusting Him. You hadn't been able to trust God there. You hadn't been able to walk there. But I tell you, in this seeking of God, God wants you to bring you to that place of breakthrough. But no, it always will take. I'll say these 4 things with me. It will always take, in process of me seeing God, it will always take the Word. If I say the Word, shout the Word. It will always take the Spirit. It will always take the Spirit. It will always take prayer. Always take prayer. And will always take a commitment. For me to seek God, it will always take that. It will always take the Word. I can't seek God without the Word of God some way being put into my life. I can't seek God will allow it without allowing the Holy Spirit to give me guidance and direction and to finally get me there. And I can't seek God without having times of prayer. What God wants you to do in this season is learn how to pray without ceasing. God wants to bring us into a holy intimacy with Him, to where every moment you become realizing God's here, God's with me, and that way you'll never be alone in a crowd. You'll never be by yourself. You'll never have to handle a battle by yourself. You'll never be alone. When we come to a place of consciousness that God is right here, standing beside me, standing inside me, God is here. I never have to face anything alone again. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. And then it's going to take a commitment out of me. Praise God. Well, let's stop right there. Lord, as we, Lord, move into this season of pursuit of God, Lord, we're going to start a simulcast here Sunday that's going to give us a lot of wonderful knowledge. It's going to give a lot of us ways of happiness and joy to be able to flood our life. But you, precious Holy Spirit, you, precious Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned several places where that where that our life may have to start with. I mentioned several that where our time of seeking God may have to start. It may have to start with me changing my words. It may have to start with me fasting my thoughts. But if somewhere the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that there's God, that the Holy Spirit wants you to start your process of seeing God, that God's dealt with you over change, and you feel like that change needs to take place as you move closer to God, I want you to stand with me. If you that sense that in the Holy Spirit, you sense that God has zeroed in on points of necessities, of need for change in your life, and that's where our process of seeking God. All right, now let's just pray together. Let's say, Lord, I ask you, precious Holy Spirit, I need you to empower me. Help me, God, for the next many days of seeking you, of pursuing you. Lord, help me to be able to fast this before you in Jesus' name. I'm not depending on my own strength. I'm not depending on my own power. I'm depending on the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm depending on you, God, to guide me and direct me and bring me into a much closer place with you. I cannot get there alone, oh God. I cannot do this by myself. I cannot bring the breakthrough that I need. But I trust you, precious Holy Spirit, to lead me to a closer place with God. Bring me, Jesus. Bring me closer to you. Bring my life into a greater dimension of your glory, of understanding you, of knowing you. Never, ever, ever let me be the same again, oh God. Cause me, put within me a spirit, Lord, that will pursue you, but a passionate spirit, a spirit with desire and power on the inside of my life that will continue to pursue God and become changed into your very image for the glory of God in Jesus' name.